everybody. Welcome to Hammer Down, the show about why you, yes, you, should consider a role in supply chain. I'm your host, Mike Bush, and this episode is super fun. It's a little different than most of the episodes we've done. So Volvo, who's been on the show in the past, is rolling out a new truck. It's called the VNL, and it's super slick. It's super cool. And as part of the celebration, they've invited members of the media, including me somehow, to their headquarters in Radford, Virginia. So throughout this episode, you'll see a couple of interviews with folks. You might see some of the production that's happening in their facilities. We actually got to put together a truck. You'll see some of that stuff. And you might, if you're lucky and pay very close attention, even get to see me crash a truck, or at least try. Hope you enjoy the show. So, Magnus, we are here in Volvo's headquarters in Radford, Virginia. What's the story with this guy behind us?
This is cool. And what you see here behind me is the new VNR series. We actually started production of this just a few weeks ago. And maybe the first units as we speak are reaching customer hands. So that is pretty cool. And it's the second truck on this new platform. The first one, the VNL series, it has been on the road now for roughly a year, a little bit over a year. So this is the second truck on this new, over $2 billion investment we have made in this new truck. So that's pretty cool.
Understood. Walk me through the new bells and whistles. What are the things that a trucker would get excited about, Steve?
Now, when we talk about Volvo, and we started this project with the new platform of trucks roughly 2018. And then we said, okay, what do we want to achieve? Because you come to a point with a legacy model. We actually started that one in 1996. We have numerous iterations and so on. But you come to a point, okay, you can't do more on that platform. You need a new platform to take the next step. And what should that step be then? And then we discussed and we said, safety, of course, Volvo is synonymous with safety. So you need to have all the safety features you can imagine. The objective was to do the safest truck in the world. Our customers or carriers, what's their biggest expenses? It's drivers, number one, fuel is number two. Mm-hmm. So we said we need to address those. Yep. And we want to build the most fuel efficient truck the world ever has seen. Okay. Very simple objective. We want it to be 10% better than our legacy model.
Damn.
In order for us to do that, we knew that we need to change the cab and the body in white completely. So we started from a white sheet of paper and then how to optimize a truck for the best fuel. So and what you see here, and even more so on the VNL series, so that's our long-haul flagship, all the aerodynamic devices and the curb windshield, which is unbelievable. So everything is thought through. So you get the 10% we claim for the VNL series, 7 is from aerodynamics, 3 is from powertrain. Mm. For the VNR series, the VNR you see here, which is more regional truck, pickup delivery, more confined environment, fuel is important, but not as important. So this is 7.5% better fuel than the others, but still keeping the same technology. So I would say fuel, yes, that's one.
Now, when you say fuel's not as important to a regional carrier, why?
It doesn't drive that. So let's say a long haul can easily drive 120,000 miles a year, while maybe regional, maybe half. And of course, if you add that up, yeah, it's important, but not as important. And you have many stops and go, lots of other things that impact the fuel, while the long haul tractor is designed to go mile after mile without stopping and most efficiency and most productive. So, but it has the other thing, and that's important, driver and the most expenses from the carriers is driver expensive. So we wanted to do the best possible interior environment for the driver. It shall be the best drivability, maneuverability, visibility, and you have tested both of these things today.
I mean, if it's not on the podcast, did it even happen? Should
start home.
I just want to call out that it wasn't just me that hit a code, and I just watched Steve Banker from Forbes run one over.
Name dropped him and everything.
Oh yeah, that was for the podcast.
Yeah.
Especially with the VNR, with the short hood, the turning radius and the maneuverability, it's unbelievable. It's better than my car. So we want to do that, pair that with a driving environment in terms of layout, stalks, and also resting environment. And you know, you can transfer, you have Murphy belts, you can transfer that to a dinette, so flexibility. So these were, I would say, the three key things we wanted to do. And I would say, I think it hit home. We see nowadays, and it's pretty fun to see. Now, maybe not so much at this point of time, but go back a year in time, we had driver shortage. We see that carriers are advertising, come drive for us. We have the new Volvos. And we put lots of extra effort. We have more insulation. It's super quiet.
Yes.
In the car, super quiet. Lots more insulation. So lots of thought went into the cab. We optimized the space inside because this cab is actually more narrow than our legacy product because of you want that wedge shape to give the aerodynamic. And then it's a trade of, okay, how do we still make that little narrower truck feel spacious interior? And we had so many tests, we had so many clinics, you know, how to move the seat 1 millimeter there, up. Now it's too much. We tested with drivers. Now it doesn't work. So lots of testing, several thousand of drivers involved in the development process to really make sure, yep, now we have it.
It's funny, when you talk about drivers as an expense, I hadn't thought about the retention side, right?
Yeah.
But the drivers who drive a Volvo, the drivers who drive, you know, I come from a background where we had EVs and hydrogen trucks.
True.
My retention problems were never a problem. Our drivers love them, you know?
Yeah.
So it's such a great call out. It's such a hidden cost.
Absolutely. It's a massive cost. Massive cost. How much does it take to train and educate a new driver?
Of course, absolutely. And, you know, it's an industry with 85% turnover year over year. So to say, hey, I kept five extra drivers.
Yeah.
Huge.
Exactly. And when we did this, the turnover was over 100% a year, which is crazy. So that's what, okay, we need to do that. Safety is a given, that's Volvo. We need to do the best fuel and the best interior. Here you have the evidences.
Now, when you start with a white sheet of paper, presumably there's no such thing as a bad idea.
Nope.
What was the worst idea you heard? That somebody had to throw something at the wall, like oh, let's put a dartboard in there, or something that just couldn't resonate.
I think in the beginning, and you know, designers are very creative people, and that's fine. And you know, in very first, no limits whatsoever, and then you come up with these very strange shapes and so. Yeah, but then okay, that looks cool. But we need to be able to build it and industrialize it.
Right.
Everyone can do one prototype truck and you can do that and so on. But to industrialize it, make sure everything fits, make sure it's cost efficient enough. So then all the compromises start to kick in. But I did see some very weird, I would say, early design concept. And that's fine. And then normally we end up at 3. So, okay. And then they present for us then in management and all the features with this concept. These are the pros. These are the cons. This. And then we choose one concept. Many times it's a combination of, let's say we take that concept, but we want to have a little bit of that.
Yeah.
And that's then, okay, now we lock down the concept. And then the real work starts. How to package things. How to make sure everything fits. How to make sure everything will be cool. How to make sure we have place and space for all these cabinets and freezers, whatever you want in the cab. So, and then, of course, along, we always have compromise. Yeah, but we have to do, okay. But then we have a deliberate decision. But when I see the final products here last year and this year, I would say I'm pretty proud. The main objectives we set then back in 18 and 19, where we really nailed down the product, we kept them. And I'm glad we did. And what better time now than talk about fuel? Yesterday was the highest ever recorded diesel prices.
And tomorrow we're going to shatter that record. Yeah. So we're heading in the wrong direction there. But
So
what is your background that got you to the point where you're in Volvo, involved with?
Good question. I started in Sweden in powertrain, actually, at the engine factory back in January of 1989.
Okay.
So it is a couple of years ago.
It's been a while.
It's a little while, so I know I weigh my round. But back then, when I started, Cars and Truck was the same company, Volvo Cars and Volvo Truck. Then after a year, so I just had a one-year temporary assignment. And, you know, you're young. I was 22 years old. So I need some work. So it's good.
Yeah.
And then after 1 year, Volvo Cars and Volvo Trucks did go different ways. And obviously someone told me, you did a decent job and we can offer you a job at on the car side and on the truck side. And most people that weren't saying, yeah, a car, that's much more fun. I still can't remember to this day why I said trucks. But since that very day, and that was then January of 1990, I've always worked for Volvo Trucks. Okay. I've been around the globe working now the last 15 and a half years in the U.S.
Now, where's the coolest place you've been?
I've been all cool places I've seen. But I think what has, to me, the most gratifying thing, I've been able to travel the world in job, meet so many different interesting people, culture. Yeah. And Volvo is the most global brand. We are in 130 plus countries, and I've been to many of them, meeting our customers, meeting our dealers, meeting our local companies, and you learn a lot from, you know, it is difference between US, Japan, Australia, and Angola, and you need to realize that also when you develop trucks, because one size may not fit everyone. And I think that's good learning to be able to meet so many different people, to hear what's important. And you know, just take an example. Now, it was many years since I was in India. But, you know, people is not the problem, and workforce is not the problem in India. Salaries is not the problem in India. Why should I have the most comfortable truck? And our customers, they don't even care about the driver.
Right.
So, and you come to this, it's interesting. One memory, and this is pretty interesting, was in South Africa, and they claimed they want really high horsepower engine. I said, why do you want this high horsepower engine? You don't really need that. You're not hauling that heavy. But then I was told, when you're going through the mountains in certain areas of South Africa, if you don't have the power, you have pirates in at the side of the road. If you go too slow, they jump up on your trailer, and no one has covered box trailers. They're just, you know, so they cut the load, steal the load if it's going too slow up the mountain.
Gotcha.
So then I need, that makes sense. Not, of course, I would never have thought about that.
No,
that's why you want more horsepower, because you have pirates in the side of the road. And one interesting, when we talk about this truck, in Brazil, we had to do trucks that were covered, so they have no steps. So why are we doing that? Same story. Because if they go, anyone, you know, crime is pretty bad there, can come up and take the truck, so you have it. And you could, of course, it had step, but it was inbuilt, so you need to activate them.
Right.
But it makes sense when you tell me, but I wouldn't have come up with that. Why not? So things like that, and I met so many stories like that through my years. So that's pretty interesting.
Got it. So my favorite question to ask a guest on the show is, if you're talking to a new or recent college grad, and they say, Magnus, I'm thinking about supply chain, I'm thinking about logistics, I'm thinking about trucking, what's the one piece of advice you'd give that kid?
I think, first you need to learn what area, and you need to be a little bit clever what you choose. Now, of course, connectivity, software development, AI, these are, of course, things you need to consider or having in mind. And then what kind of jobs will be left, if I say like that. But I think you're safe in any of these areas. Software we always need, and you know, the software going into the development, it's unbelievable. It will just get more. So like connectivity, what can you do? The AI, it has just started. We don't even know.
Right.
We are using AI today for predictive stuff, for connectivity, downloads of parameters and all that. So I think these are things I think you need to consider. So I think today, you have, even if you're not extremely interested, you need to consider these things. What jobs will really be available and what are most important, regardless of industry, I would say. But if I see our industry, more technology, more high tech, software, systems, AI, of course you need people that are building, developing stuff. But these kind of things, I think for now is safe. I would say a little bit unfortunately, I think people need to think about that. When I was little and grew up, you didn't need to think about these things as a factor. You said, yeah, I think trucks are cool. I work for trucks. But many jobs will also disappear or be replaced,
right,
in different. And we have automated, you know, many different things in our. And you did see today, actually, in one of the plants.
Yeah,
robotics. You know, it's very. You can't hardly see any people.
Yeah,
and robotics.
Yep.
So things like that and developing these. I'm always so fascinated going into that plant and see who comes up with these, you know, ideas that the robot shall do all these things. So that kind of competence is definitely something that's the future.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. It's, you know, yeah, one of my favorite things when you talk to a mechanical engineering student, you say, yeah, what do you want to do? I want to build robots.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Have you been to a manufacturing plant?
Yeah.
Have you been to a port? No, of course not.
Yeah.
Those are the only two places robots are in production. What do you do? Like,
yeah.
And I think about that as that's not the kid's fault. That's our fault as an industry for not seeing. Here's the cool stuff.
Like,
we're here. It exists, and you can come see it and, you know, touch it. I guess there are a couple of robots that if you touch them, they panic. But
yeah. It's interesting time. So,
is there anything I haven't asked you or anything you want to touch on that we haven't?
No, I think one thing that goes a little bit in line with what we just talked about here, future autonomy. And also in terms of trucking, we are as everyone else. We are doing testing. We are in Texas. We are driving separate lanes. We're actually hauling for customers today. And the big
Sasco was on our podcast a couple of months ago.
Okay, you know all about it.
Yeah, it's so amazing.
But and that's of course extremely interesting.
Very.
Extremely interesting, and that will come. And then you say, yeah, you just talked about how important the driver is and all the others, and you talk about autonomous and no drivers. What's the deal here? But it's a compliment. I would say foreseeable future, yeah, still we haven't seen real commercialization of the autonomy, and it will come. But it will not be for everyone, not to start with. Probably the major companies, dedicated routes, as you probably know them from Sasco. I think good complement to the driver, foreseeable, 10 years, we will still have predominantly drivers, but it will be a complement, especially in times, maybe not so much nowadays, but if you would ask me 2 years ago when we had, you know, 100,000 drivers, lack of 100,000 drivers in the industry, and if you think about that, yeah, a driver can drive 11 hours, then you need to rest for 11 hours, and so a truck can hypothetically run 24 hours or until it needs to fuel up. So I would say the productivity aspect, productivity gains immense. So I would say lots of possibilities. Will it be for everyone? No. Will it come? Absolutely yes. Yeah. Then to what scale? We have ambition goals, and I'm sure Sasco talked to you about it. Will it happen as well? I don't know, but it will happen, and it will be a good compliment.
Yeah, I mean, it very much makes sense. I am the working theory that autonomous trucks are going to, you know, really compete with rail, quite frankly.
It will. It will take from rail, the intermodal things. Absolutely. Yep. Agree 100%.
Highways are the perfect use case. Yep. And then once you get into a city, a truck like this with the turning radius is the perfect complement.
Yeah. No. So things will happen. The big question, how fast will it go? We all thought about when we were first out in this market with an electric truck.
Yep.
And we put in 19, put in production 20, and then we thought that trajectory will be. Yeah, that didn't happen.
No, it turns out you just have to elect a different president if you want to have any sort of sustainability.
So, and then it became political everything, and then the market dies. We're still the market leader, but you know, if the total market is 300 trucks, it does matter.
Right.
So that we were very wrong when we were predicting, and we had this trajectory.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were wrong. Then for different reasons, Europe has taken off okay-ish, I would say. Not as much as we thought.
Right.
We thought this market would probably be in the lead. It's not anymore. So I think that is something, yeah, that we were wrong in our assumptions. We were early out, we put the truck on the road, we said we're going to put a truck, we did put the truck on the road, we started production, still the market leader. Yeah, the market is not there, right?
Right.
Of course, lots of components. Yeah, you can say it political also, but, you know, charging and infrastructure is not there. You know, total cost of ownership is not there. Right. So it's lots of things that is, but that's an interesting.
To me, weight parity is the biggest job.
Yeah.
When the truck weighs 11,000 pounds,
potato chips and ping pong balls.
You're absolutely right. I mean, why? Lays are the perfect customer for the Tesla Subi because, quite frankly, they weigh nothing.
No,
it made perfect sense, but yeah.
So this is something we were not right about in our predictions. Will it come? Yes.
Yep.
When? I don't know.
I get it, man. Appreciate you being on the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure.